there. You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley.
I am your host, Chelsea Blank, the Natural Areas Conservation Planner with the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District.
Hi, I'm Becky Panetta. I'm an Agriculture Conservation Planner with the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District.
And on this episode, we are talking with Andrea Sonnen from the Sonnen Farms in Marion County. And we are honored to have them join us today on the podcast. So a big welcome to you, Andrea.
Thank you for having me.
So why don't we just start at the top? Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role on the farm, how long you've been farming, and a little bit about your farming philosophy?
I was raised on what was my grandfather's farm in St. Paul, Oregon. And growing up, I actually spent my summers working for my grandfather. And then my uncle, when he ultimately took over, driving combines and balers on their largely grass seed operation, but also doing like picking blueberries, occasionally moving some irrigation pipe. I was also part of 4-H and FFA growing up, and I raised pigs for the county fair. And then following lower education, I went to Oregon State University and I got a dual degree in general agriculture and agricultural business management. And then I married into a farm family, which focuses on fresh market produce. I've been actively helping in a substantial capacity with Sonnen Farm now for about 4 years, I would say. Prior to that, it was just kind of here or there, whereas now it's more of a integral role, I would say. My role at Sonnen Farm largely consists of managing our social media accounts, interacting with our customers, and managing the farm stand on the weekends after my kids get done with their county fair. They give me a little bit of a reprieve where they're like, okay, you're busy until right after fair, and then we need you to come work on the farm. So we're a small family farm, and we strive to provide customers with quality fresh produce while being sustainable in all aspects, providing a good working environment for our employees and ensuring that we can continue to farm well into the future. In addition to my work at Sonnen Farm, I actually work full time during the week for the Oregon Department of Agriculture.
Oh, wow.
And the majority of the farming operation is managed by my father and brother-in-law. And we have 5 permanent employees. And then we also do occasionally hire additional seasonal help. And on the weekends, when I'm working, my kids are working and my husband's working. So you can find us out at the farm stand usually during the summer and into the fall.
So you stay really busy. So farming is in your blood.
Farming is now, in my blood. Yes. Yeah. I stay very, very busy.
Wow. And now you're pretty much the face of Sonnen Farms then.
Apparently.
All right. So we've already heard a couple of these answers, but feel free to elaborate. Can you describe the location and history of your farm and tell us about its landscape, crops, and past farming practices?
Yeah, so we're located at 8644 Broadacres Road in Aurora, Oregon. But despite having an Aurora address, I actually always tell people we're really just outside of Woodburn. You can find us on the drive between Woodburn and Donald. In addition to our main place, we rent additional ground outside of St. Paul near Shampooey Park. And at the main farm location, we farm about 50 acres, and then we rent approximately another 50 acres. Currently, my daughters are the 5th generation to be working on the farm. Over the years, there have been many different ag commodities that have been grown on the farm. So historically, the farm's also grown like cannery crops like green beans, cauliflower, and broccoli. For many years, it was an active pumpkin patch during September and October with a hay maze. There's also been nursery production in the past on the farm. And then until about 15 years ago, the farm was conventional. And then my brother-in-law started the process to transition it to an organic operation. And we have been certified organic ever since.
The transition, the organic farming must have been kind of a big uplift, right?
Very much so. Yeah. So there's a lot of additional record keeping. You have to start basically your organic farming practices for 3 years prior to getting certified. And during that transition period, you're not getting kind of the monetary incentive of the higher prices that a lot of times come with organic. And so you're spending a lot more money, and not getting anything monetarily in return for that. But ultimately it was something, so we've seen a ton of benefits from having gone organic, just in terms of, wildlife, natural resources. When they were growing the cannery crops, they were using a lot of, slug baits, like the old school ones. And also, you know, rodenticides and things like that. And we used to have a ton of pheasants on the farm. They all disappeared. Mm-hmm. Now that we've transitioned to organic and been organic for about 15 years, we have tons of different wildlife. We have wild rabbits. We have quail. I absolutely love seeing the quail. We have weasels, which I had never seen in the wild until then. And they have found rubber boas at the farm, which I didn't realize we had native boa constrictors. So that was kind of neat, but also creepy because I don't like snakes. A big uptake in turn, or uplift, I should say, in terms of work and effort. And it's something that continues because there's a lot of record keeping associated with agriculture, and a lot of it requires more hands-on labor from that standpoint. So it's been a big deal, but there have also been very noticeable rewards in terms of nature and the environment, and ultimately what I think the sustainability of our farm.
Wow. And so not only does it benefit nature and the environment, but do you also see the benefits to the crops themselves and like the value of the crops?
There's a little bit. It depends on the crop.
Okay.
Some of the crops do better in the organic system than others, we've found. There are definitely benefits in terms of more crop rotation. So to be certified organic, crop rotation is like a mandated part of it, as opposed to, oh, just when you feel like it, kind of in a conventional system. And so we are almost annually, with the exception of like our strawberries, rotating our crops. The strawberries get rotated essentially every 2 years. So we have a field in for 2 years. On that second year, we plant the next field, you know, and another piece down the way. And then it's ready to go when the 2 year block is done. The other thing, there have been some interesting findings, I would say, in some of the accidents that we've had. So we, before I started being like a super integral part of Sawn and Farms, I had COVID hit. I was really struggling with being stuck in a house with kids on the internet doing school. And I asked him, my brother-in-law, if I could grow some garden crops out at the farm on like a piece of a small parcel of the land that he wasn't actively farming, because it was too hard to like manage. And he told me that was fine. So I planted some strawberries out there. And then my husband was, because we were planting out there, I made sure that we were following the organic rules, because I didn't want to jeopardize his organic certification. So I told my husband, oh, we have to do a cover crop. And so he was actually spreading cover crop next to the strawberries that I had planted. And I want to say it was a vetch of some sort that he was putting down. And he was just doing it with like a push spreader, and it spread over into my strawberries. Well, then the next year, all of the strawberry plants that had a vetch next to it, which pulled out super easy by hand as we were picking the strawberries. The strawberry plant itself was loaded with big, huge, beautiful berries. And it's like, oh, well, that makes sense because the vetch is fixing the nitrogen, but whoever would have thought, like, if you did a cover crop of that in between the rows and it's easy to take out, that's something that you can use to prolong your strawberry patch. Huh. So there's been all these little tiny things that have come up where it's kind of cool from an, I like to call myself an ag nerd. And from an ag nerd perspective, it's been cool.
Well, thank you for bringing up cover crops. I'm going to put a plug in right now. Marion SWCD has a cover crop grant program that is going to be open for applications starting on August 1st. So I'll send you some information later if you're interested, but just a little plug to our general community as well.
What are some of the other things that you enjoy most about farming?
I really also enjoy the feeling of accomplishment from having successfully produced something and being able to provide others with a quality product that's actually something that is a need, right? You need food. You need good food and good healthy food for survival. And being able to provide that and make connections with our customers, I really actually enjoy that as well. You know, we have regular customers that if I haven't seen them for a while, I'm concerned about why I haven't seen them. Then they'll show up and I'll be like, I missed you. Where have you been? What's going on? And ultimately, the family aspect of agriculture in general, everybody involved in agriculture for the most part is one big happy family. You know, during harvest, when you're harvesting a crop, it's all hands on deck. On the weekends, actually, a lot of times we will be all eating lunch together. Like I will go out, I will make like chili, especially during the fall, like in September. I'll take my crock pot out to the farm stand. So that kind of stuff is really special to me. You know, growing up also on my grandparents' farm, during harvest, my grandmother and my aunt made dinner for all of the employees, which was like 25 people that they were making dinner for. That kind of stuff is like super cool to me. And it just really brings everybody together.
What do you think are the biggest challenges you face in farming?
By and large, I would say that our biggest challenge is the cost of farming anymore. Being an organic farm, our actual toolbox for dealing with pests and things is a lot smaller than a conventional farm, especially around weed control. And so a lot of that stuff has to be done by hand. Additionally, because we're a fresh market produce farm, all of our produce is handpicked. So our labor costs are incredibly high. And then we've had, you know, recent legislative and rule changes in Oregon around overtime pay and the heat and smoke safety and things like that, which have been challenging to work around. We've had to actually adjust working hours, especially during the summer months, to ensure that we're operating within the law and keeping our employees safe. And then these additional costs aren't something that we can then say, oh, hey, we need this much more for our green beans because it costs us more to produce them. Farmers are price takers. We don't get to set the price. If somebody else can produce it cheaper than we can, then that's who's going to get the sale, not us. That's definitely been a big struggle for us recently.
And if you're just joining us, we are here with Andrea Sonnen with Sonnen Farms in Aurora. And you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio on 88.5 and 100.7 FM and streaming on KMUZ.org. So what are some of your top priorities or needs for conserving soil, water, and natural resources on the farm? Keeping the organic transition, organic certification, certain, have your priorities shifted because of that?
that is a top priority. In addition, we have a lot of, well, I shouldn't say a lot of, there's a large portion of our farm that is basically allowed to be natural habitat. We have one piece of the farm that is a duck pond in the winter, and it's a duck pond so long that it's not farmable, and so we allow it to just be a duck pond. We also have a, for lack of a better term, like ravine that runs through a portion of the farm, and it is allowed to be a forested area, has a lot of habitat for coyotes. We have a few deer, some things like that. We also have a pond towards the back of the farm that has pond turtles and frogs and fish and the occasional otter in it. And that would be a lot of what we're doing. The other thing that we've actually integrated more of now that we're organically certified is the use of cover crops, and especially like cover crops during the season where we are not actively growing our, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables. So we'll take out the crop, plant in a grass or, you know, wheat, something like that, and let it be in there over winter, and then take it out right before planting the next year. That's something that we have started to integrate a lot more recently, I would say.
And that's when it's really important to have some kind of cover on the soil. And Becky, you can talk about that too, because that's when there's so much water, rain, snow coming down on bare soil. So then your chances for erosion and losing your land are higher during the winter anyways. So you might as well have a cover crop on there, right?
Yeah, one of the points of cover crops that we like to talk about is keeping that sediment, keeping the soil particles in their place and not letting them wash away. All farmers like to keep their soil where it's at because it's one of the most valuable resources that they have. And so we also like to keep it out of the waterways so that they stay clean as well. So it's a win-win for everybody if we can keep the soil where it should be.
And I'm just curious about one other thing, because you had mentioned doing so much of the labor and the weed management by hand since you're an organic certified farm. And then, so thinking about pest management, not only for like plants and weeds, but also with like rodents and animals. So how have you kind of been able to keep your pest management effective while also being organic?
That's actually a really good question, and doesn't have a super great answer, especially around rodent control. If we're talking about, backtrack a little bit, by and large with, say like your field mice or things like that, we don't have a huge problem with those just by the nature of the crops that we grow. We don't grow a lot of grains or anything like that. And so even if they're going to, you know, attack one of our crops, like say they're attacking our pumpkins, they're not going to do a ton of damage because the pumpkins are so big and the crop is so large. So it's a little bit negligible. One of the bigger things we have an issue with is gophers. And we trap those guys by hand. And then when we're talking about insect pressure, that's where we have a big difficulty. And really our goal is to plant the crop with enough time that it gets big enough that it can outgrow any damage that's done by the insect population before, you know, if the insects are eating on the plant when it's smaller, it has less likely opportunity to actually survive. Where if we can get that plant bigger before the bugs show up, it has a more likely opportunity to make it through. Some of our biggest pest pressures in terms of insects are flea beetles and cucumber beetles. And so we really try to kind of time planting as much as we can to account for when they're going to show up and when their population is going to boom. One of the things though that I will say, especially with, we've talked a lot about, we have natural habitat around the farm, especially that wooded area. We have a very large population, at least it sounds like, of coyotes around the farm.
Oh, wow.
And so you get to hear them at night when you're out there, you know, doing whatever. They get very vocal. It's kind of actually really cool to hear, but they help with our rodent control as much as anything. And so you do see with these more kind of, for lack of a better term, natural operations, you see that nature predator prey start to take effect and really aid in helping you to not have to have so much of a problem.
That, you know, I never thought of the timing growing the vegetables to be big enough just to like basically outgrow the insects. That's a really smart workaround to just time it differently, knowing the cycles of the insects, getting to know your enemy, and then outsmarting them.
Yes. Do you have any words of encouragement or thoughts you'd like to leave for our listeners?
I would say that anybody can be a farmer, even with your little 10-foot, you know, raised bed in your backyard. It takes practice. It takes patience. Ultimately, farming is a practice of hope. You put something in the ground. You hope that it comes up. You hope that you can manage it appropriately, that you get a good outcome. And if everything goes right, your hope is paid off and you have a crop to harvest. Obviously, that isn't how it always goes. And even the seasoned farmers like, you know, my brother-in-law, myself, end up having days where it does not go and we have crop failures. We have, you know, issues that we're constantly having to deal with, maybe disease pressure or something like that. But I just encourage you to take the time. I think there's a lot, there's even a lot of health benefits as you look into, you know, scientific articles around like just being active in the soil. Soil has compounds in it that actually help improve your mood. So, you know, when you are driving around and a farmer has a freshly plowed field and you smell that smell and you get a happy feeling, that's a legit scientific thing. And if you're doing that at home, even just digging around in a garden, you're gonna see those things and you're gonna be happier for it, I think. That's what I would say. Also, support your local farmer and your local farm family.
And so is there anything, we'll just give one last chance for you to put a plug in. Is there upcoming events? Are there certain hours that folks can come by and see the farm? Are you selling your products anywhere else? Anything else you kind of want to put a plug out for people to come support local farmers?
Yeah, so actually we do sell our produce to a couple different local wholesalers. We sell to Organically Grown Company and also Charlie's Produce. We also have the farm stand. The farm stand currently isn't manned. We do offer self-service at all hours. So if there is produce there, there's a little thing that you can put money in for the produce that you take. Starting the weekend after next, I will more than likely be out there on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday. So it will be manned on those days. Plus, my daughters will more than likely be out there with me. We currently have sweet peas. I think we still have some rhubarb out there. And then we'll be having pickling cucumbers, tomatoes, sweet corn, all coming on as the summer progresses. Also several types of beans, green beans. We do flat beans. We do these really cool things called dragon tongue beans, which I actually really enjoy eating raw. So we will continue to have those kinds of things. We'll also have tomatillos. We do peppers. And then once fall hits, we will have, fall decor items like decorative corn, corn stalks, pumpkins, gourds. And then we do a lot of edible squashes, edible winter squashes. So always something to find out there. And our busy season is just now getting started for harvesting and selling things.
Okay, one last question just to end on a fun kind of, just a fun question.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite vegetable or fruit that you grow, or a favorite recipe that you make with any of your produce?
Yes. And it's actually not necessarily a recipe that I make. My husband has perfected it. But he makes it with our sweet corn, and he cuts it off the cob, and he basically pan fries it with butter and Johnny seasoning salt in a skillet on the stove. And it kind of caramelizes the corn, and it is so delicious. And then I'll also say there's two things. So that's what my husband makes. I take our strawberries and I make a strawberry shortcake trifle, which is a huge hit in our house.
I bet.
Layers of like basically a strawberry jam and whipped cream and angel food cake. And actual like strawberry chunks layered upon layer. And then you let it sit overnight in the refrigerator, and then all that jam soaks into the angel food cake. Highly recommended.
Okay, well, thank you. And thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing some of your thoughts and your words of inspiration for listeners. We really loved having you.
Oh, thank you for having me. It has been fun.
Well, we have been talking with Andrea Sonnen with Sonnen Farms about growing organic produce in Marion County. I'm Chelsea Blank.
And I'm Becky Panetta.
And we are two of the conservation planners for the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. And we're also your hosts for this Conservation Spotlight episode. Thank you for tuning into this episode, and I hope you enjoyed our limited mini-series, Meet the Farmer. This concludes the series for now, but stay tuned to Conservation Spotlight for more special series like this. And if you liked what you heard today, please tune in for our next episode in August, hosted by Polk SWCD. Every effort counts, and together we can make a difference in conserving our natural resources. If you would like any more information on this topic or any other conservation or farming topic, please visit our website, marionswcd.net, and our Facebook page for follow-up information and resources on how you can contribute to local conservation efforts. Also, sharing this radio show with others is a great way to spread awareness and encourage positive action. And if you liked what you heard here on Conservation Spotlight, tune in next month to KMUZ at 100.7 or 88.5 FM, the third Wednesday every month during Willamette Wake Up. Thanks for listening, and keep up the conservation conversation.